Hey folks, it's Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson. This is show number 170. I'm recording this on Sunday, April 9th, 2006. Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are. A little bit of chocolate in my throat because right before I started to record, I was eating the last of the Girl Scout cookies. I got those peanut butter ones, you know, the peanut butter patties. They used to be called tagalongs, and for some reason they're not anymore. They're just like peanut butter patties. Maybe the Girl Scouts of America folks lost the rights to tag along. So I apologize if I have a little bit of something in the back of my throat there. Let's jump in here. Let's see. Last weekend was the Xbox Live Gold weekend. I want to thanks everybody who helped out with that. A lot of people did to welcome our new members. We have the Xbox MVPs, we have the Xbox Forum moderators, regular members, and of course the Xbox Ambassador Program, which was a program that Trixie came up with to help the newbies come on board to Xbox Live. So that was overall a success. I know the numbers were up from previous weekends, so that's good. So that was a lot of fun. I actually played on Friday night. I was playing a lot of Ghost Recon, Advanced Warfighter with some folks. And then Saturday I was played a little bit more of that. I think I played a couple games, The Outfit. And then I got back into Oblivion. because I got sucked into the quicksand that is Oblivion. But before we jump in and get going on the Oblivion thing, I wanted to talk about Cameo. So this past week, and I'll talk about this later in the downloads or the marketplace section of the show, but the Cameo co-op is now available. You can actually go up. So there's a two-stage process. What happens is you have to get an auto update, which is mandatory. So as soon as you throw Cameo in, it'll actually tell you have to do that. It'll slide out from the right and say an auto update is available, and you click, and then it slides out from the left and starts downloading. And then what you have to do is you have to go into Marketplace to download the actual co-op online pieces. So it's very, very quick, very simple. And then once you do that, you can actually go in and set up a game in co-op and play over live with one of your friends. And it was kind of cool. I've done that with a couple of you. I posted this earlier in the week when it went live, and a couple of you sent me friends requests and invites and messages and said, come join me. So I did. Couple people. We had a lot of fun. We played like the first level and I think some of the second level. So that was fun. You can get some co-op achievements and so forth. So that was nifty. And a lot of people are asking about the achievements. Oh, actually, before I forget, I know there was an issue where some people could not see their Winter Warrior pack that they purchased. So when you downloaded the auto update or the co-op online piece, you could not see your Winter Warrior pack anymore. So that there was a little bit of an issue that we figured out. So all you need to do is go download the Winter Warrior pack again. And because you purchased it, you just go down and download it again for free because you already purchased it once. So, to summarize, if you downloaded the Winter Warrior Pack, you need to download that again for free. That'll take you very, very quickly. Speaking of downloads, all right, let's jump into it. I know you're asking, you're waiting to figure out what am I going to say about the infamous horse armor incident. And that's the only way I can describe it. It's like the Oxbow incident, the horse armor incident. So for those of you that don't know, this past week, Oblivion came out with its very first downloadable content, which was some horse armor. This was released earlier in the week, it was on April 3rd, and it was up on my blog, and I'll put a link to it. Up on my blog, it's a post entitled Pimp Your Oblivion Ride, because you can really get your horse all blinged out there. And basically, you can download a horse armor pack for your horses. You have to have a horse first, and it'll cost you 200 points. It's available in U.S., Canada, Great Britain, Hong Kong, Korea, Taiwan, Australia, and New Zealand. So a lot of people were kind of outraged, specifically around the price, and they didn't feel that it was worth it, and some people did and some people didn't. So what I want to say is that that's fine. But really what it's more importantly is a lot of people ask, what do I think about it? First of all, I need to tell you is that we don't set the prices. Microsoft, we don't set the prices. We can guide and tell publishers what to do, but we don't set the prices. Secondly, and a lot of people have picked up on this, this is one of the top five commented posts I've ever had on my blog, with over 430 comments, it's the free market. You need to speak with your wallet. So if you don't like it, you don't purchase it. It's as simple as that. And it's, I'll put up a link also, on for this, I'll put up a link to an interview with 1UP where the, folks from Bethesda were saying they're experimenting with the price and they're trying to figure it out. Simple as that. So, you know, the sky's not falling, relax. They're working it out. Don't know what their plans are. I have no idea, but if you don't like it, then speak with your wallet. But I will tell you this, I can't share the numbers, but a lot of you really, really did like it. Or maybe it's a lot of people that don't even listen to the show. So it did pretty well. I was quite surprised. So that's what I have to say about that. So in summary, for those of you who are just tuning in or missing it, or you dozed off while I was rambling on there, is if you don't like a price of something, whether it's a picture pack, whether it's a game, whether it's a downloadable piece of content, then you just don't purchase it. That's the most important thing to do. That's why it's a marketplace. It's a free market. It's going to figure itself out. You know, the publishers are setting the prices. They want to figure out what the nice sweet spot is in the price that people will enjoy it. But they also have their own costs to cover, so we have to figure that out as well. I have a couple interviews in this show that I want to roll. I was very fortunate to interview Carnage. For those of you who don't know, Carnage is a legend in the circles around Geometry Wars, which is one of the best-selling Xbox arcade titles. And, I'll go ahead and roll Carnage's interview right now for you. All right, my guest today is, well, he's a legend among men. It's Carnage. Carnage, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, no problem, man. Thanks a lot.
So, for those of you who don't know, Carnage is a legend amongst the video game circles on Xbox 360 because you have the high score in Geometry Wars. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I got 33 million currently, and I kept increasing my score recently. So I've had I beat Code Kata, who had 12, and from there on, I just got higher and higher with the score. So yeah, I'm at 33 million right now.
So one of the reasons I'm curious about this is because I work with Stryker, and Stryker originally was one of the guys on the top of the charts, and you've long knocked him off. I think he's number 10 or 12 now.
Right. I mean, yeah. I remember he was one of the first to get the high score, and he actually posted his video, I remember, and you had him on the show in the past, and I learned a lot from him also watching his videos. I learned a lot of good strategies, so that helped me out.
So you've actually sent me, I'm going to put a link, I'll put this link in this week's show's link dump, but you've sent me a link to your video for your 16.6 million. So what's your strategy? I mean, I can't even get past 100,000. When did you realize that, wait a minute, I'm going and I'm continuing to go? Tell me a little bit about how the game works in your mind.
Okay, basically, you have to go in a certain pattern, either clockwise, counterclockwise, or a mixture of both. But usually I go in counterclockwise direction, and I go around the board in a circle. And you remember to keep your multiplier high. And yep. I remember, I think Stryker mentioned this before, it's always important to have a lot of lives and bombs so you can get, as long as you stay alive the longer, you'll get a higher multiplier, which means you'll get bombs and lives faster. So that's always key to doing well.
Interesting. So you just basically look at the board like a clock and you're going counterclockwise?
Yeah, I'm going counterclockwise. And I just keep going in the same pattern. It's good to be consistent that way.
So the video that I'm going to put a link is to 16.6 million. But what are you? I don't have the Xbox your gamer card open in front of me right now. What are you up to right now? 20 what million?
Oh, my high score right now is 33 million actually, 33.7. So,
33.
But I didn't record a video of that. But because basically, I'll tell other people, Stryker was saying also in the past, something to remember about the game is it basically stops getting harder around 5 million or so. So
right. What
you do is just stay on the same difficulty. And basically, things stay the same, and you just keep playing.
So it's really
a test of endurance.
Once you get up to 5 million, it plateaus, and then it's just kind of plateaus going through, and it's just mechanic or mechanic going
exactly.
through the mechanic. Oh, interesting. So before I forget, we talked about this a little before we started. Tell me about how you recorded this video that I'm going to put a link to up on my blog. What's your rig look like, and how you recorded this?
Okay, basically, what I did was I bought this ATI TV Wonder USB card. And it's a capture card, and basically yep. what happens is you put it into your computer, for those that don't know, you put it into your USB port, and you just connect it to your TV and your Xbox 360 with a splitter, and you'll be able to just see the image that's projected from your TV onto your computer and then just record, so you can make your files like that.
It's pretty straightforward. Yeah. So this, so people can go up and take a look at your 16.6. How come you didn't do the 33 million? What happened there? Were you just didn't think you'd make it, and all of a sudden you'd
well,
you hit
sometimes
it?
That happens. But also because the 16.6 million video, like, it's going to be very similar to what you see in the 33 million. It's going to be the same stuff over and over, and it'll probably get boring if people just keep watching the same thing. So that's why.
Oh, interesting. That's right, because as you said, the game kind of plateaus. So how long, with the 16.6 million, this video that I'm going to show, and more importantly, your 33 million, how long did it take you to get that in terms of what was the from beginning
the
to end?
Thing, well, the 16.6 million, I don't actually remember how long that one took me, but for the video, it's only actually, it's 20-minute video, but it only goes from 12 million to 16 million, so you don't even see the whole thing. that lets you know it's a really long time that you play. But the 33 million one, here's the grand whopping total of almost 3.5 hours, basically. Yeah.
Three and a half hours.
I did take breaks.
I'm actually, now I've called, you did, so you press pause, you went to the bathroom, you got something to drink, you kind of got back to your life.
I took a nap, I ate dinner, I took breaks because, you know, if you play that game too long, you probably get a seizure. All those crazy lights.
Now when you're taking a nap, I mean, are you seeing the everything in your dreams? I mean, it must be a little maniacal.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, I think I had a dream one time. I was counting shapes instead of sheep.
That's pretty funny. So of course, you know, so you're the high score in Geometry Wars. I'm looking up at your gamer card right now, and it looks like you started really hitting your stride right around the first of the year.
Yeah, I
it's right around the January.
Yeah, basically around December 12th is when I got 360, and I just bought Geometry Wars right away. I knew I'd have to have this game when I bought, you know, the system. It just looked so amazing and fun, and, you know, of course I wasn't wrong. But basically, it took me about a month to get all the achievements, but I did improve in the beginning of January. I got all the last achievements then.
That's amazing. So I have to ask, because when I interviewed ST the King a few weeks ago, I asked him, he's a college student. What do you do, and how do you have time to dedicate it to this?
Well, I mean, I play this game more than any other 360 game. That doesn't say that I'm just playing, you know, games much, but I do have time. I have college, and I go to work and everything. You know, I have a part-time job, but, you know, I dedicate other time to playing games and, you know, doing other things in life, but of course, there's always time for Geometry
Wars. What are you playing right now that you like?
There's always time for Geometry Wars, but for now, I mean, after I got the 33 million, I kind of, you know, I don't want to try doing that again. It's going to be really hard. I might in the future, like I remember you were referring to me as being retired, official Geometry Wars retiree.
Right. Well, that's what Stryker told me. Stryker's like, you had retired. So is that true?
You know what? I have retired for a while, but I think I'm an ex-retiree now because I wanted to, try to beat my 33 million.
You're like Michael Jordan. You're going to retire and come back.
But yeah, you know what? But to answer your question, I've been playing a few new good games right now. I mean, all these new games came out, and I think these are the best ones so far. Because I've been playing Burnout Revenge, also Ghost Recon, and of course Oblivion. I had to get that game.
Yeah, I'm just comparing our gamer scores right now up on Xbox.com, and you've got some. Wow, you're way ahead of me. Holy smokes! I have some catch. I have some catching up to do.
It's a game of enormous size and depth. It's just you could just spend so long, not even get the achievements, but just spend so long exploring. It's really fun.
So I have to ask you this. So because we were on the Oblivion discussion, I have to ask: did you buy the horse armor?
Oh no, I didn't. I didn't buy it because I figured it wouldn't really do any good in the game. I mean, no one would see it. It's not online. Maybe if it was like online, like I saw you rolled out the cameo updates. But I mean, if it was something that you could see online and distinguish yourself, be unique, maybe then I'd buy it. But this is a single player game. I don't see any purpose for it.
Yeah, that's a good point. But it's been great chatting with you. I mean, Geometry Wars really is a lot of people have been really stunned by that game. Would you say it's the best 360 launch title in your book?
Yeah, definitely. I have to say that. I mean, it's been said before. Other people have to agree. Definitely. I mean, it's just
it's definitely
so addicting.
It's up there. Yeah. It's now a classic. I mean, there's quite a few games that will define the Xbox 360 launch, and I think we can all agree that Geometry Wars Evolved is definitely at the top of that
list. Yes, definitely. And I mean, the Xbox Live Arcade in general, it's just such a great feature of the 360. I love it.
So before I let you go, Carnage, I want to ask you, so for somebody like me who, I mean, you, it's clear that I'm not this game isn't, it's just hard for me to get my head around. For somebody who's a beginner, and there's a lot of people, I mean, we forget that there's a lot of people that are coming home with their Xbox 360s for the first time, literally every single day.
Right, I know, they just increase the shipments. A lot of the people are getting them right now.
Yeah, exactly. So what's your recommendation for them, you know, to you talked about the clockwise strategy and how it kind of gets easier at 5 million, but what's kind of some tips you can give us before we let
you go?
Okay,
yeah. Another thing that helped me get really good was one of my friends was watching me play one time, and before I got really good, he was watching me and said, why don't you stop using your bombs, because if the game, how are you going to know what you can dodge later on, you know? Basically, you know, don't use your bombs for a few games, even though you won't get a high score, but that way you'll be able to get better and not just use a bomb when you're stuck, you know? You'll be able to dodge situations.
So kind of artificially restrict yourself. Yeah. It's kind of like putting weights around your ankles when you're running.
Yeah, something like that. So I mean,
so you don't use your bombs.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Good. That's a good tip.
Another thing also would be to, like I said before, keep your multiplier high, and that way you'll get bombs and lives faster. Also, check my video out. You'll see the strategies I use, and that'd be a good way to get better also. And just to let everyone know, I was not number one right away. I mean, a lot of people were better than me at first. I just took a lot of practice and learning strategies, and you'll get there. I mean, you'll get all the achievements. At first, I thought I would never survive a million, but, you know, it comes with practice.
So when you started playing the game, you didn't, like, say, I'm going to be the best in the world and be damned everyone else. It just kind of happened.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, I didn't think I was going to never be number one in a game. I think it's pretty cool. But, yeah, I mean, I never realized that. It's just so fun and addicting. I didn't really care what I get, you know.
Cool. Well, Carnage, I appreciate your time today, and I'll catch up with you. Hopefully we can play some Burnout together.
All right, awesome, dude. Thanks for having me on your show.
Carnage was a great guy. I really appreciate him coming on. And he's just got so many. It's funny, Stryker, who sits, we talked about Stryker in the interview. He's one of our developers on the Xbox Live team, and he came in and he's like, wow, Carnage has, you know, 33 million and he's retired, and okay, whatever. But he's still trying to go for that. So it's great. It's amazing how small our community is, and it's great. I apologize for the quality there. When you're using Skype, there's always this little bit of a delay and whatnot, so I tried to minimize it as best I can. But Carnage, nicely done. So I also want to point out is that, you know, I like doing interviews with community members like Carnage, who really have done something different in the community. I mean, he is so far ahead of anyone else on the Geometry Wars leaderboards. That I know I'm going to get some questions, some emails from, hey, you know, me and my clan, we played 50 games straight. Do you want to interview us? Yeah, no, I don't. You know, I'll look for stories that to me are interesting that I think that, the large, listenership here will find interesting. So don't send me request to interview you. No, thank you. But speaking of interviews, my next guest is a legend, in the Xbox team. He is, he works in our marketing department. His name is Albert. And, he is just one of the most fascinating individuals. You go into his office and there's action figures everywhere. I mean, he must have hundreds of action figures. I mean, he is truly a geek amongst geeks. So let me, without further ado, let me roll that interview with Albert. My guest today is a friend of mine who I've known for all of a few months. His name is Albert. Albert, welcome.
Welcome. Welcome to you.
Welcome to you. So you and I actually met when I was in Tokyo. You were one of my tour guides in Tokyo.
That's right. I consider myself to be moderately decent at getting my way around and finding toy stores.
No, you were actually the person who we happened to all arrive at the airport at the same time, and you kind of helped me along because I had never been to Tokyo with the Tokyo Game Show last year. And then you took me into Akihabara.
That's right.
Which was the most amazing experience ever. It was amazing.
Well, I've been there a couple of times, and you find it's like the hard target search. You're on a sortie,
right?
And you know exactly what you're looking for, and you've got like 15 minutes to get
you
everything.
You were so focused. What were you looking for?
I'm a big Transformers fan.
Right, you're into action figures.
Yeah, so you go to the holy land of Transformers and action figures when you're there. So you got to find all the super secret toy stores, all the used game stores.
Right.
You got to know where that's at.
Right, and you were taking me down some back alleys and up these weird rickety staircases into these stores that were just the size of half this office.
Yeah, well, you know, you were with Blake as well, and right. Between the two of us,
I got to get him on.
Yeah, between the two of us, we sort of divide and conquer, and we've given each other all the little secret shops. that's the whole key. It's like a scavenger hunt there.
Right.
You can follow the main road and you can hit the same shops, right. The Laux and all like that everybody else hits.
Right.
But it's finding the back alleys with the super secret stores and the stores that have all the JAMA boards and stuff. That's
what's cool. And actually, the first
night the varsity level.
The first night we were there, we actually remember we went down to where the hell where were we staying?
We were staying in where we always stay, in Shinjuku.
Yeah, and you took me down, you and Blake took me down to Shinjuku, and you guys were all over the Guitar Hero. Remember that?
Oh, that's right. Well, because the newest Guitar Hero is always in Japan.
Yeah.
That's actually Blake's thing. I'm like...
But you were doing pretty good.
I'm like two left hands on Guitar Heroes.
Oh, man. But that was wild. But anyway, that's not why I got you over here. One of the reasons I wanted to get you over here is you're in charge. What are you in charge of? You're in charge of accessories?
Yeah, so I work on the global marketing team, and I'm basically responsible for – I don't do live, and I don't do first-party games.
Right.
So if the console, accessories, extension products, I work with our third-party publishers.
Right.
So what I – basically everything that's not live in first-party games.
That's kind of cool. But before we get started, what's your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is – probably the most original gamer tag. My gamer tag is Albert.
So Albert.
Yeah, which everybody, I'll tell you, in the beginning, everybody wanted the cool, like, unique names.
Right.
And I said, you know what? There's going to be a million. There's like five Alberts. But the reality is I'm the only Albert.
You're the only
Albert. I'm not Albert 05 or Albert 69.
Right.
I am the Albert Prime.
Well, it's funny because I actually, because my first name's Larry. I've always looked for, Larry, and I don't know who that person is, but I must have that name.
That's right. And when you see Albert online, it is me. It is nobody else.
And people are going to send you. But so you work on hardware.
That's right.
So talk to me about some of the cool stuff that's coming out. You have a couple announcements that we can talk about now.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a transition period, and we launched a lot of a lot of exciting stuff came out at launch.
Right.
We could talk for hours about the wireless controller and how awesome that is. The thing that's coming out right now is the quick charge kit, which is something we actually talked about at launch. But, when you're trying to get 19 products into the market, and some of them are extremely innovative. There's a lot of original technology in our wireless solution.
Right.
The quick charge kit was just one of those ones. We said, look, we got the battery, we got the play and charge kit, which is a cool solution.
Right.
We got to just put this one on the back burner and get it out in the spring. So it's awesome.
Spring.
It's spring. It's sprung. It has sprung. We are on time after being late.
Right.
But it's awesome. And the great thing is when you're introducing sort of things that have never been done before, like wireless controllers natively in the console and battery packs, you think it's going to do well. You get excited about it, but you never know.
Right.
And the reality is the play and charge kit far exceeded our expectations.
Really?
Certainly our sales expectations, not our aspirations, but our expectations. And so I think the quick charge kit rounds out the sort of battery portfolio now. If you're really a hardcore gamer and the quick charge kit just doesn't get it done fast enough, or the play and charge kit doesn't get it done fast enough, you can get the quick charge kit, charge a battery in 2 hours, have another one waiting, and you can just swap them out.
So I actually have one here in my office. You brought one over with you. And it's kind of a cool little device. We've seen the pictures on the web.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's how much is this going to sell for?
It's $29.99-ish. Check your local retailer.
So it'll be about $29.99. And how much is the play and charge is?
Like $20.
$20. So for $10 more, you get
a battery and you get the charger.
You get the charger, but it also charges a lot quicker.
Yeah, that's right. So if you've got the play and charge kit, it sort of takes about 8 hours-ish to charge a battery.
It's kind of like a trickle charge.
The idea is when you're done gaming, you leave it on, plugged into the console, you leave it overnight, and it's done. This is basically, it plugs into the wall, it's got two slots for two batteries, it can charge one battery in 2 hours, two batteries in four. So you can basically always have one sitting there charged, ready to go, and the other one can get charged quick.
So let me get this straight. So for about $30, you get not only the charger, but you also get a battery as well.
Yeah, exactly right. And the point is that we figured you were satisfied with the play and charge kit at launch. It kind of got you where you needed to get.
Right.
But now having two batteries, we're going to be introducing things that we can't talk about right now that are going to use the battery in the future.
So it makes perfect sense.
So it makes perfect sense. And we've really designed it to if you've only got one controller or two controllers, you can manage with the play and charge kit or the quick charge kit.
Right.
But the two products are really complementary.
Right.
The best solution is to have both, because then you can not only support your controller, your friend's controller, but stuff that we're going to do in the future.
So you can just pop it in here, and it charges pretty quickly, as we said.
Yeah. I said, 2 hours for one battery, 4 hours for two.
So you actually – and I want to thank you, because you actually gave me some of these. I'm going to give these away at the end of the show.
Cool. Awesome.
So we'll do that and name the game. We'll give away the chargers. And when does it go on sale?
It's shipping any minute.
Any minute. So it's going to be out there. So keep checking your local retailers. It'll be in there soon. That's good to know.
That's right.
So what other, you work on that side, but then you also work on another very hot topic.
The backwards compatibility.
Backwards compatibility, yes.
Yeah, this is a recently new addition to my my workload, and I'm learning very quickly. It's something people are very passionate about.
Yeah.
I've seen some very passionate emails
on this topic. So people can, if they have any questions, they can email us at backcomp@microsoft.com.
That's right. It's under xbox.com/games. There's
right.
A section
there's a little section there.
There's an alias. And hey, let me be honest with you. I mean, I'm sure there's people who have emailed and aren't getting a response.
Right.
But I promise you, someone is looking at those, and it does.
Most likely you.
Well, I was looking at them for a while. Believe me, it's you get certainly the people that are emailing are the people that are most passionate about it.
Right.
And some of them can be very passionately negative. But I think it's important for people that are listening to know we are looking at them. We can't respond to every single one.
Right.
Because the volume is unbelievable. My inbox went over its size limit. The first day that thing, opened up.
Right.
We read them. We are looking at them, and it is influencing. I mean, actually, if you look at the two releases that have come out and the titles that we've included in, those were based on feedback from the forums and feedback from the alias.
So it does work.
Absolutely.
And I think it's also important to know is that we're still working on it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was a big proponent of making sure that the console is backwards compatible. It's something that, you know, when we launch the console, you can't commit to it because it's hard. I mean, I'm sure your audience is definitely the people that are paying a lot of attention to this business. And these guys, they probably have emulators, which, you're not supposed to as a Microsoft corporate employee.
Right.
But,
Seen them.
I've seen them. I'm aware. I might have a few on mine. But, you know, it's hard, man. And people are out there trying to figure out how to emulate a Neo Geo.
Right.
You know, we're emulating an Xbox. And
full 5.1 and
yeah, and everything. And I mean, Xbox is a powerful system. It's, you know, still the most powerful, the current gen stuff, not the next gen stuff. But it's hard. It's really, really hard. We got the smartest people in the company working on this. And we're listening and committed to making it work. So are we getting titles out as fast as we like? Of course not. But those guys are working hard.
Do you think there'll ever be – and I'm going to catch you a little off guard with this question. Do you think there'll ever be a day where an Xbox title will come out that – like a brand new title this year or later this year where it's instantly backwards compatible?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
The reason is that the way we're designing the emulator so that it doesn't get broken is that – it will only work with certain games.
Sure. It has
It'll only work
list.
With the games that get tested on it.
Right.
So we have to actually say yes, it will work, or no, it won't work.
It's a whitelist.
We are balancing out as we took a lot of criticism for when we first released the original list of games. There are a lot of games, and I love to use the Barbie Horse Adventure. And no offense to my friends who worked on Barbie Horse Adventure, but you know, that is a game that we call a freebie. It's a game that worked because we worked hard on getting another game.
You did some work somewhere else, and all of a sudden, hey, look, this one works.
And we're going through this kind of back and forth process where we're going to work hard on a game that people are really requesting. That, you know, we've always said we're looking at the top selling titles, and there's a reason. It's because for the most part, the top selling titles are the ones that people want.
Right.
So you work hard on those, and then you go through and you look at the whole library again and you figure out what ones also happen to work.
Right.
We're the next process that we're going through now is let's go back and see if what now might just work for free.
Sure.
So back to your original question, that means when a new game is being developed, there's nothing a developer can do to ensure that it's backwards compatible.
Right.
So we got to get the game. It has to be totally done.
Right.
And then we have to look at it. But or certainly in the case of Black, it happened not instantaneously, but it happened within 3 weeks of release.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. So and that just happened to be, and honestly, because Black was based on technology that we had emulated. So it wasn't it was hard, but it wasn't as hard as something that was totally original.
Sure, that's good to know. So back compat, it's good to know that you're at the, I feel comfortable that you're at the helm with back compat.
I'm very passionate about it. People should know. It's really hard to see the negative feedback because the guys here are really committed to doing it. I totally get it. I see why people are frustrated.
Yeah.
I think one of the challenges before we get off the topic is there's a little bit of confusion at the retail level about what we mean. You know, we've always said it's not 100%. There's a list on Xbox.com that'll tell you what works. But I think sometimes people go into retail and you get an uninformed clerk who says, oh yeah, Xbox 360 is backwards compatible, so go ahead and buy all these games.
Right.
And then you get consumers who get into a position where they feel like they were told something that isn't true.
Right.
They weren't told go look at the website and see if it works before you buy it.
Right.
So I really feel bad for those people. Right. And like I said, we look at it all and take it all into consideration.
What are you playing now?
Right now?
Yeah.
I am addicted to Fight Night.
Right.
Yeah. I'm. You
That's
know,
right. Because I remember you took me over to your office. I don't want to cut you off, but you took me to your office. You spent hours creating a character that looks exactly like you.
That was totally my thing. I literally, and then you know what? And that was actually, you know, I was doing that on the early version of the game, and I had to do it again when the final version out. But yeah, my whole thing was I literally sat there with my wife and a mirror in front of my television trying to get, because let me tell you, there's nothing more inciting than seeing Pinello knocks out Ali.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because that ain't going to happen in real life.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, I just love, I mean, it just kind of appeals to my artistic sense.
Right.
So it's not a vanity thing. It's more just about the technology in it is so robust.
Right.
I want to push it to the edge. I just don't want to make some funky looking guy. It's like, let's see how close to real
so
I can make
some. So what do you call your doppelganger?
The bully.
The bully. So it's Albert
I am
the bully.
And the bully is currently undefeated.
Really?
I am currently undefeated.
Do you take Albert the Bully online?
No, I haven't done that yet. Okay. You know, it's I love Xbox Live, and right. You know, it's such the greatest thing, and I love doing arcade, and I love doing the chat. But for me, I guess I'm just one of those guys who kind of digs the experience against a computer.
Right.
I mean, certainly, you know, Halo. You got to play Halo with your friends.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. There's a ton, and there's lots of games, and I haven't even gotten a chance to get to Ghost Recon yet. And Oblivion, I don't know the people who can work a full day and play Oblivion. It's like, these guys must have 36-hour days.
Well,
when the rest of us are.
I think it's probably because they're at home playing Oblivion and not sitting in front of the TV with a mirror.
You might be onto something there.
So yeah, I mean, but the whole thing is, at least because you're like a, like you said, you're a single player kind of offline computer guy.
Yeah,
but you're still connected to your friends list.
That's right.
And you can see what they're playing and have those discussions.
I totally did. You know, I totally started getting into the arcade stuff.
Right.
Because I've been playing games for forever. I have every system ever made.
Yeah.
And so the retro stuff kind of appeals to my sense of, I only have, you know, 20 minutes between the time I get home and when dinner's ready.
Right.
So let me just go fire up arcade. And there's so much cool stuff happening on arcade right now. So the best part about it is, you know, I want to play, figure out the game, kind of see what I like, and then immediately go up and look at all my friends and see how they're doing on the game, just so I can make sure that I'm, you know, doing better than them.
So I have to ask this question. I don't know the answer to this question. You're at Microsoft. You're working on one of the coolest products. How did you get where you are? What's your background?
Yeah, that's an interesting story. Okay. So I'd like to say stay in school, kids.
Right, I always
do
say
your homework.
Right.
But actually for me, I actually got this into the industry by getting into a car accident.
What?
I've always been a gamer. I've been a hardcore gamer like my whole life. And it just so happened – I got to make this story as short as I can.
No, please. We have time.
One summer,
right.
It was a summer right after I'd graduated from college and was after my first year – right after I graduated from high school.
Right.
My first year in college. I was back home for the summer.
Right.
My friend and I were going up into the city. And this was sort of before the industry was
the
industry.
When you say the city, where
San Francisco.
Okay, so
I'm sorry.
Francisco.
I'm from the Bay Area.
Okay.
So, yeah, we were going up to San Francisco.
Okay.
And I thought, you know, let's go see Sega. You know, I knew it was in San Francisco.
Right.
You got to kind of put yourself in like 1990.
Right.
You know, here, 1980, right. 1990,
so 91. It shows a true geek anyway, because you're just going to see the building.
Yeah, that's right.
That's all you wanted to do.
It's like, let's see if we can get inside.
Right.
So we found the building.
Right.
And parked, went inside, and, you know, I have kind of an uncanny luck about things kind of going my way.
Right.
As my friends, if any of my friends are listening, they will sort of laugh at that understatement.
Right.
So I figured, you know, let's go in and see if we can kind of weasel our way in. Maybe we can see some games. There was no ulterior motive other than we were sort of nerds, right?
Right. And you had nerds with no girlfriends.
No girlfriends.
Okay,
at the time.
You're by yourself and going.
But my buddy and I are going to San Francisco, and we get in, we get totally rejected. Like,
just
no,
denied.
Like, who the hell are you trying to come in? I don't know you. You're not going anywhere. You know, of course, we're, you know, 18, 19 years old, and you don't realize that businesses, like, don't like 19-year-old people just kind of walking around the halls.
Right.
So,
A tip, people.
Yeah, so here's a tip. do not try to get into an accident with anybody at Microsoft.
Okay.
That's the moral of the story. But as I was leaving and backing out, I just happened to be looking one way.
So you're driving.
I'm driving.
Right.
I was backing out of the parking space. Some guy was rushing to a meeting,
mm-hmm.
and we just totally collided. I took the side of his pickup truck and just folded it inside.
What were you driving?
I had like a Chevy Blazer.
Okay.
And he had like a Toyota pickup.
All right.
And my bumper won.
Okay.
And it just...
As Detroit bumpers tend to do.
Tend to do. American Iron wins. And it just so happened that the guy kind of felt bad because he knew he was like, you're not supposed to be doing 40 in a parking lot.
Right.
And it also just so happened that he was going to meet his brother who was graduating from Cal Poly,
right,
which is where I was going to college at the time.
I see.
So immediately there was a little bit of a connection.
Sure.
And, you know, he said, look, let's just deal with this later. I got to go. I'm not going to call the cops. Just,
right,
you know, give me a call. We'll figure it out. Exchange numbers. So call him the next day. You know, he's like, look, this is a beater. Just give me $500 and we'll sort of deal with
it.
We'll call it a day. Come on up and just give me a check. So when I went up to meet with him, he said, you know, why were you here? Do you know somebody here?
Yeah,
and I go, no, man, I just love Sega. You know, I had a Master System. I got a Genesis when it first came out. I just love Sega and I wanted to check the place out. And he's like, really? You know, what are you doing for the summer? I'm not doing anything this summer. You want a job? Sure. So he walked me around. The day I went up to pay him his $500,
right,
he walked me around the building, said, this is Albert. He's going to be working here this summer. Introduced me to the head of customer support at Sega, and I had a job 2 weeks later. Started in customer support.
And what were you doing?
I was answering phones.
You're answering phones.
Answering phones.
That's amazing.
That is how I got my job in the game industry.
And then kind of bring me through the next 10 or 15 years.
Well, let's see.
Because it's pretty checkered as far as I know.
Well, you got to finish college.
Right.
So, you know, but the point is that it sort of helps when at that time in the industry, people weren't actively seeking customer support jobs. I don't think even people really knew what a job in the game industry meant.
Right.
I think people thought at that time making games was the kind of job.
Right.
Having a sales career or a marketing career.
They didn't understand all the other things around
it. It wasn't really – if you were going to business school, you weren't thinking about joining the games industry. Now you are because it's such a big business.
Right.
But back then,
right,
it was very much people that had been around for a while. There was a lot of old guys that had worked at Mattel,
right,
on Intellivision, and
right,
Atari and Activision.
Right.
So the good news is I had a little bit of a connection because I'm this young guy. I'm pretty enthusiastic about being here.
Right.
I'm trying to learn a lot about how this works because
right,
I was actually an art major
right,
in school. I didn't realize there was real jobs here. And I did,
right,
you know, you just don't have a sense when you're young about what your career is going
to be. What you want to do, right.
So I was just trying to learn and meet people. And I had some – I was able to make good connections because I was, you know, oh, my God, here's the guy that worked on, you know, River Raid. And,
right.
You know, this – oh, you worked on Sonic?
Right.
You know, and so there was a little bit of a fanboyishness to it.
Right.
But, you know, I kind of also understood having why people bought stuff, what they were looking for when you were going to buy a game, what were some of the things you were cluing in on.
What were some of the qualities?
So I started doing a little bit of packaging copywriting.
Right.
I started taking screenshots for packages and working more with the marketing group.
Right.
And then I realized, you know what the thing to do is you got to go to school,
right,
finish school, and then I went to work at EA.
Oh, so you worked at EA.
And I worked at EA
wow,
for 6 years. And then I.
What were some of the products you worked on at EA?
Let's see. I worked on Need for Speed. I worked on Jane's Combat Flight Sims. I worked on – I launched the very first Bond game, Tomorrow Never Dies.
Yep.
I worked on, let's see, oh my goodness, Space Hulk. I worked on Road Rash.
Well, you've been around.
I launched the Strike series, if anybody out there remembers Soviet Strike or Nuclear Strike. Those were mine.
Right.
And probably what I used to call the B titles with love, games that nobody will ever remember. Games that I can barely remember.
Really?
Well, Space Hulk would be one.
Right.
Firefight.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
You're having flashbacks.
I just realized I launched like 40 games in the 5 years I was there.
Holy cow.
I can't even remember them all.
Now these were console and PC or?
PC. I launched some Sega Genesis games. I launched like Syndicate on the Genesis. And,
wow.
Theme Park on the Genesis. I did some 3DO stuff.
Right.
I launched some PlayStation stuff. Some
really?
Saturn stuff.
So you've been around.
Yeah.
And then you came to Microsoft.
Yep. Well, you know, it's like if you love games and that's what you want to do.
It's your passion.
It's your passion. You sort of realize you can do you do games and you pay your dues. You do the smaller titles and you're real tactical in your marketing and the type of launches you do. And then you get step up and you do bigger launches. You know, at the time that I launched Bond. It was the biggest entertainment title EA had ever done.
Right.
Now, I mean, when you think of EA, you think as much almost about their entertainment stuff as you think about their sports. But it wasn't like that when I was there.
Right.
And then I thought, what's the next thing to do? You know, right. You work for a console company.
Right.
And I knew some people at Sony, and they were close by.
Right.
But, you know, Sony had, at that time, you sort of knew what they were going to. And, right. and also, I wanted to affect the console. And I right. knew that it's developed in Japan, and I knew the people at Sony, and I sort of thought, I didn't know that I was going to
be able to have that much of an impact.
And right. then you hear about Microsoft, and I think, well, you know, they're a smart group of guys. It'll be a challenging thing for my career.
Right.
Everything I'd been reading about what they were talking about Xbox sounded interesting. And when I came up and met with people, it was clear, like, this was a place for me.
So you've been here since the original Xbox.
Yeah, I actually came in the year before Xbox launched. The very first thing I did here was fix Duke. Get controller S started.
Really?
Yeah. My very first day, I was saying, well, let me see this thing. I want to see what the console looks like.
Right.
And I want to see – I don't know if I should tell the story. This was before it launched.
Okay.
And I saw the console, and I thought the console looked cool, you know, and I realized with the hard drive and stuff, you're just – you know, I knew it was big, right. but, you know, it didn't – it looked pretty cool. But then right. I saw the controller, and I just remember thinking – wow, this thing's big. You know, it was comfortable, but man, it's big. You know, and if that's my first reaction, I think that's going to be other people's first reactions. And I kind of went through the seven stages of grief on the Duke controller, you know, in terms of where you're first, like, accept it. And,
right.
you know, then you got to go, oh, my God, we got to fix this thing.
Right.
So we immediately started working on what was called Akibono, which right. is the Japanese controller.
Right.
And that, the whole idea there was, let's give some choice. People are starting to warm up to Duke.
Right.
But let's get them both out in the market.
There's one right there, actually.
Yeah. You know what? I still get people who complain that they can't find these things anymore.
Yeah.
There are people that are really passionate about this controller. I think it's a great controller. So, you know, it was really about giving people choice.
Right.
And then the consumers voted and Controller yeah. S
won.
You know, won.
Yeah. And then, of course, that segued right into the 360 controller.
That's right. You know, there was a lot of learning that went into Controller S that – a lot of people on that team, there was a lot of things we couldn't do
right.
because we had the MU slots in the controller
right.
and things like that that limited our design. And, you know, we're a learning group. The people yeah. here love this product. They love this project. They love the industry. They love games. And they wanted to make the best controller ever. And sometimes right. you're just limited. You can't fix everything. So there was a bunch of ideas that were yeah. that were put aside. And when the opportunity came to start working on the wireless controller and the wired controller, we were able to take a lot of the good thinking. Things like the black and white button and moving them up to the triggers.
The shoulders, yeah.
Yeah, something that just couldn't have physically been done on the old controller, but we knew people wanted to do it, and we wanted to do it.
And so. Then, of course, the Xbox 360 button in the middle.
That's right.
The guide button.
Yeah, and that was, you know, it's funny because I remember people thinking, I wish that button, the Xbox Jewel,
right.
would actually do something.
Right.
And that kind of just sort of internal discussion led us to, yeah, maybe it should do something.
And
by the way, we've got this great vision about our dashboard and
right.
and all the integration that we can do. So there was a great meeting of the minds there.
So you really have your fingerprints all over the Xbox 360.
Yeah, lots of people do.
Yeah.
There's nothing – you can't take credit for anything. It's,
right.
it's such a collaborative
it's such
program
a team,
here.
Team
it's
effort.
Been awesome to be – I think it's fair to say I've been involved in a lot of things
right.
that have made the Xbox what it is. Lots of people have, but it's right. been exciting to – I can look at things and say there's this one little thing that I pushed for and,
right.
and it happened. So.
Right. That's kind of so. I'm gonna let you go. You've been over here, and I appreciate you coming over, man.
Yeah, it's always fun.
I wanna have you. Will you come on again, maybe after E3?
Hey, like, we have got the coolest stuff. The stuff I'm so excited about, I cannot talk about right now. It's
right.
the stuff that's coming out at E3. So I'd love to come back once
so maybe a month and a half away.
Yeah, that's right. And people will see some really cool stuff.
And then at the end of my show right now, I'll give away some of these quick charge kits.
Awesome. Let's do it.
Thanks, man.
Sure, no problem. Anytime.
So Albert is really an amazing individual. When I was talking at the beginning of that interview about going to Akihabara, I could not have picked a better door guide. He was just – he and this other guy, Blake, and I need to get Blake on. Blake is really – this guy has spent his life in video games, and he's one of the smartest people I've met. He knows everything about every video game ever. He can pick up a game and know immediately whether it's good or bad. This guy is like a video game brain on legs. It's extraordinary. So Albert left me some quick charge kits, and I will give those away and name the game this week and then in the coming weeks. So you can win it before you can buy it. It's very exciting. So anyway, I'm going to wrap up with some news here, and then we'll do Name the Game in just a minute. One thing I wanted to point out was Apple Boot Camp. I posted this on my blog this week. You can now officially dual boot a Mac, you know, an Intel-based Mac with either Windows or or with Mac OS. And I'm looking at getting one of those because it would be perfect for me to produce my shows, because I use Vegas to produce my shows and Outlook to do my email. Because I've used Entourage. I have a Mac in my office, and I've used Entourage, which is actually a Microsoft product for the Mac to do mail, and it's just horrible. And, yeah, I know you guys are going to tell me to download Thunderbird and all that other stuff, but it doesn't work with corporate email. It's just, that's just the real deal. So, anyway, thanks for the guys that have emailed me that have tried this and said that it's working. I want to see some benchmarks on that. So if you've got an Intel-based Mac and you're able to, and you've dual-booted it, let me know what the benchmarks are on the Windows side. Now, warning, I've got some emails from some folks asking me to tone down the fanboyism a little bit. And I apologize if I get too fanboy, and I actually posted this in a comment this week that I may come off as being fanboy when I talk about like Sony and the PS3, because I know more about the Xbox side because I work here. So I'd love to learn more about the PS3. In fact, I'm opening this invitation. Anybody from the Sony organization that would like to come on my show and talk about the Sony PS3, you are welcome to come along. Please email me, major@xbox.com, and I will happily take you up on that. But in the meantime, there was a post that came out earlier this week that I linked to over in Joystick, where there was a the PS3 cost was mentioned. So I linked to that, and it turns out later on it was a mistranslation, lost in translation, like things happen all the time, you know, or it's going to be really expensive and it won't be. And then either way, you know, I'm just looking at some of Sony's marketing, and I understand marketing a little bit. Here's a little marketing tip, folks, and I'm sure you guys have figured this out. Sony's entire goal literally since the Xbox 360 launched and until the PS3 launches, is to say almost anything they can do to put a little bit of fear, uncertainty, or doubt, FUD as it's called, in your mind, so that you continue to spend your spring, summer, and fall of 2006, or maybe even 2007, I don't know, whenever this thing comes out, the PS3, it's so you continue to spend your time waiting to purchase the PS3. When it finally does come out, then, you know, when all the things they said this year, or they're going to say at E3, or maybe previously, you're going to kind of shrug your shoulders and go, okay, well, I'll just get it anyway. I've waited this long. So that's their goal. That's their goal, is to just to have you wait as long as possible. They're going to do whatever they can, and they've got a ton of fantastic tricks in their book that they're going to pull out. I mean, these guys are, you know, Sony, those guys are expert marketers. So, it's interesting to see there's an article on DFC Intelligent. Basically, they talk about, and I'll put a link to this on the blog. It's an article where they talk about the PS3 online feature, and specifically that basically they've reviewed what PS3's online service is going to be. And they said, and this is a quote, and I'll put a link to this where you can read it. Quote, looks a lot like the PlayStation 2 with an online store and some inexpensive community features added on, unquote. So that's what one of these independent marketing firms has deduced as far as that's concerned. So I will I'll put a link to that, but that's interesting. But anyway, I really want to talk about the marketing side of it. And for those of you Xbox fanboys, you know, when you talk to your Sony friends, this is what they're doing. So just, you know what, put your seat into that upright position. Please return your tray and buckle your seatbelt, because it's going to be a bumpy ride, because they're going to come out with all sorts of crazy stuff between now and the time they launch. But it'll be cool. I look forward to it. And you know, just to be clear, I'm not bashing Sony. You know, if we were in the same position, I can't say for sure because I'm not a marketing person, but I'm sure we would do the same thing. But that's the whole goal. It is a mind share game. It's how do you gain mind share? All right, enough about that. There's an E3 contest on Xbox.com, which probably by the time you listen to that, it's over. I think it's over midnight on Sunday, which is tonight when I'm recording this. So, we'll be bringing some folks to E3 to hang out with us, which is going to cool. Myself and Trixie and a few other folks from the Xbox.com organization. Let's see. Also, we bought Lionhead Studios this week, which was pretty big news. Which is the maker of Fable and a bunch of other fantastic games. So that they're now officially in the fray, and there's a funny article over it. My friends over at Penny Arcade have done it yet again, so go ahead and take a look at the Penny Arcade article. Moving around the other side of the globe to Japan, Dateline Japan. This week there was an Xbox news conference where it was announced that over 80 Japanese games will be released by year end. So, you know, a lot of people have talked about this as about maybe being a relaunch. But, you know, we're committed to the Japanese market. And Peter Moore said many times, it is a marathon, not a sprint. So we're doing a lot of different things over there to appeal to the Japanese gamers. I had an interesting conversation. We have a woman on our team. We have a bunch of people on our team that are from Japan. But this one woman that, that I'm friends with, she was telling me, she goes over to, she grew up in Japan and she's Japanese and she speaks Japanese. And, you know, she's who I'll go to when I have a, when I have some questions on some Japanese websites, she'll read them to me. And I was talking to her, and I said, so we were talking about 99 Nights and would it do well? Cause there was a trailer that came out this week in Japan. And as I said, is it going to do well? And she said, yeah, it'll do well. I said, well, what's going on in the gaming space in Japan? And she brought up a very interesting point. She said a lot of the gaming in Japan, in addition to the role-playing games, which are kind of, you know, people are doing that, but they're also looking at the simpler games. So I thought that was interesting. I said, like Xbox Live Arcade, and she kind of nodded her head. I said, oh, that's kind of cool. So hopefully with Xbox Live Arcade, we'll also have a, you know, make some nice headway over there into Japan. Let's see. There's a PGR3 competition, contest, sweepstakes, whatever you want to call it. That's up. I'll put a link up there. You can win a trip to the Lamborghini factory in Italy. So nifty, nifty, nifty. If you want to go to Italy and see what that's all about, maybe you should enter. Let's take a look at Marketplace content this week. Marketplace content this week, we have, speaking of Japan, we had Zegapin XOR, and I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. I apologize. That trailer's up. There's a Zerish trailer up. A Rumble Rose trailer's available now in North America. Cameo co-op is online. I talked about that earlier in the show. Of course, the infamous Horse Armor is now available for Oblivion. And there's a Lara Croft Tomb Raider demo up that's available. I know some people have been waiting on that one, and I played a little bit of that, and it looks pretty good. So hopefully that'll show up in the top 10 next week in terms of downloads. And I was actually reading something interesting about Lara Croft Tomb Raider. Apparently, Lara Croft has stolen the title of the most successful human video game heroine in the world, according to the Guinness World Book of Records. I don't know what that means. Most successful video game heroine in the world. So she's been around for quite some time. So, but she doesn't. She's aging gracefully. I think we would all agree that Lara Croft is aging gracefully. The Xbox team. So I've talked a couple months ago. I talked about how everyone was starting to blog. The Xbox PR team has a blog called Gamerscore, and they go over there and talk Xbox Gamerscore PR stuff. And that also includes gaming for Windows. And then the Xbox team, which is a which I'm part of, but those are the guys that kind of handle the dashboard and kind of the raw functionality, whereas I sit on the live team. Those guys have a blog up, and they've got an interesting article on backwards compatibility. So I want to put a link to that up there, so you go ahead and take a look at that. excuse me, it's that chocolate acting up again. Let's see. I also want to put a link up to Elle. For those of you that don't know, Elle is a writer for Xbox.com. She's got a lot of really interesting pieces up there, specifically around Xbox arcade games and how the marketplace works and so on and so forth. So you should go ahead and take a look at that. Let's see what else is going on here. You know, I collect all these links throughout the week, and then I forget what the hell they're for. So I need to click on them and open them up in the browser here so I can figure exactly what I'm talking about. So, this one is actually really interesting. So there was a couple studies out. One of them was over at that GameSpot picked up on, and it talked about how Sony and tops Nintendo and Microsoft in this brand study, and how we did really sucktacular. And I'll put a link to that on the blog as well. But then there's another one that came out. Let me click on this one, because this one came out, and it's funny because this one, the one on GameSpot, came out and said how that Microsoft had the worst. Tops Nintendo in terms of the brand study. And then there was another study that came out where Microsoft's brand was on top. It was worth more than General Electric or Coke. Does anybody think of GE anymore? God knows I don't. But I'll put links to both of these stories up on my blog. But there's two brands, the top 10 list for global brands. Number one is Microsoft. Number two is General Electric. Number three is Coca-Cola. Number four is China Mobile. Wow. Number five is Marlboro. And I assume this is cigarettes? Number six is Walmart. Number seven is our friends over at Google. Eight, IBM. Number nine, Citi is in Citibank. And number 10 is Toyota. So those are the top 10 global brands. So two competing stories that are talking about branding. And we came in dead last in one, and we were worst in one and first in the other. Oh, well. Another thing I'd like to talk about is a lot of you guys visit my blog. I see the numbers, and I want to talk about the gamer card in the upper right-hand corner of my blog. If you look up there, you'll see my gamer card. And a lot of people have asked me, how do I insert that with, on my MySpace or my MSN space? You can do it on my MSN space, but more, you know, a lot of the other areas. And this is actually, you can go to mygamercard.net, and the folks over there will hook you up. In fact, I was going to interview Morgan this week, but I need to get him on. But you can go over there and do that. A lot of people have also asked me, is right below it, it says last online in the game that I was last online playing. And there's this cool gamer info page that pops up, and people have asked me, how do I get that? Well, how can I do it myself? Well, there's a couple things you can do. First of all, you can actually go down, if you scroll all the way down to the bottom on the right-hand side, you can type in two gamer tags, yours and another, or even just two random ones, and hit submit, and we'll actually pull them up. But we're using a GRF, Ghost Recon fan, who is on my blog. He's the technical brains behind my blog. You've heard me chat about him before. We're consuming this XML feed, which is a specific part of a program called the Xbox Community Developer Program. And we are, you know, it's funny is that I work there, but I'm part of the program. Is the Xbox Community Developer Program is a program that mygamercard.net guy is in, and a bunch of other, I think there's like 20 or 30 folks in there. And we work directly with them and give them a special RSS XML feed, and then they take it and create cool little applications. So we don't hand it out to individuals per se. I got it so that I could show it off on my blog and get people excited about the gamer card and all the data that we have. But really, we work with folks like mygamercard.net and some of the other cool people that are in the Xbox Community Developer Program. So we look to those to create cool applications that you can insert on your blog and your MySpace, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, it is now time for the weekly feature, which is Name the Game. So here's the Name the Game sound clip from last week. All right, a little bit harder this week, but a few of you did get it. If you guessed black, you were correct. So hopefully you sent me an email because somebody got it right. Actually, a few of you guys did get it right. But the random drawing revealed the gamer tag AT Jaguar X. AT Jaguar X, congratulations. You grabbed yourself a Major Nelson Plantronics headset, which means it's time for another Name the Game. And this is a very special Name the Game because for the next few weeks, I'm going to be giving away a win it before you can buy it, the quick charge kit. So I'm going to get the quick charge kit and send that out to you probably later next week, as soon as I get them in my hot little hands. But you heard Albert, he signed up for them. So that means I have to make a fairly difficult name the game. Hopefully this one will live up to it. So here's the name the game clip for this week. A little bit tougher, but we have some bigger prizes on the line. We have the cool Major Nelson Plantronics headset, as well as, win it before you can buy it, the quick charge kit. So that'll be kind of cool. So if you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com. In the subject line, please put what your guess is. Only one guess per gamer tag. Don't be signing up for a bunch of gamer tags either, because that's not cool. But one guess per gamer tag, please put in the subject line what you think it is. So name the game. And then subject line, put name the game, colon, and then what you think that is, and then your gamer tag. You know the rules. Come on. You know how to do it. Very simple. major@xbox.com. Drop me a line. All right. We're headed down the home stretch here, and I want to talk about one thing. This probably was talked about a little bit in the forums, and it was talked about in the Australia forums, but I am going to Australia. I'll be down there for around April 20th through the 24th or 5th. I haven't actually booked my flights. I'll be doing that this week. And I'm going to be going down there because they are doing world's largest water balloon fight. And for those of you, water balloons, Australia, that doesn't make any sense. Well, I'll put the link on my blog to where it is. But it's actually, they're going to recreate the Xbox 360 TV commercial. You know, the one that starts with this music? Right, so I'll put the link up on my blog, and you can go over there. If you're in Australia, I'm really excited to come down there. I've never been to Australia. It's going to be quite a hell of a time. We're going to be doing it on, where is it? It's on a beach. It's on Coogee Beach. And the actual event is Coogee Beach, Saturday, April 22nd, from 10 in the morning to 1 in the evening. You have to pay $20, but you also get this really cool 360 challenge pack, which includes a game, a t-shirt, a trucker's cap, swimming goggles, and a sweatband. Apparently, you're going to get these cool green swimming goggles. And, of course, the Xbox 360 canvas bag to tote it all around in. So I'll be coming down to host that, and I'm going to be recording some shows from down there. I want to have as many of as people that are down there listening to this, tell your friends, get down there. We want to break the world record. The current world record for a water balloon fight, challenge, whatever you want to call it, is held by 2,677 Spaniards who threw 50,855 water balloons in 2005. I think we can beat that, can't we? Yeah, we can. So if you're crazy enough to fly from wherever you are to come to this event, again, I'll put the link up on my blog to where you can register. I'd love to meet you. What I'd like to do is I want to interview on my podcast the person who travels the farthest. So if you're coming from India, if you're coming from Japan, if you're coming from the United States like I am, or you're coming from England or Amsterdam or the Netherlands, then I want to interview on my show. Of course, you're going to be down there and having fun. But I'm pretty excited to come down there. I also want to do a little scuba diving. So for those of you that listen to my show from Australia, I need some tips on where to go scuba diving, because I'm not traveling all this way, and I'm not going to go take you up on some of your great diving there. So, all right, so that's the Xbox 360 Water Balloon Challenge. It is Saturday, April 22nd in Sydney, Australia. Coogee Beach is apparently just south of Sydney. I will be there. Kish Chasey will be doing a live performance. Nova will be broadcasting live, and Channel 5 will be filming all the action. And Major Nelson, yours truly, will be on site hosting it and hanging out and doing a podcast and recording and taking photos and throwing water balloons. Want to see you there. All right, so that kind of ends the show right now. Guess I figured before I go, since I'm going to be spending 18 or 19 hours on a plane coming from the United States down there, I need some new games for my DS, so what should I buy? Yeah, so post up on what you think I should do there. All right, so that's pretty much it. Thank you for downloading my show. For the complete Major Nelson experience, check out my blog at majornelson.com. Also, don't forget, if you need secure and assured hosting environment, check out my good friends at Centricom. They'll hook you up with a good deal. Thank you guys there. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying have fun and play fair. And I figure who best to take us out of the show with this week than our friends over at AC/DC, who are, of course, from Australia. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Australia. So I need you guys to let me know what DS games I should get. Should I get Electroplankton? I may go pick that up today. And there's this mind puzzling game that I saw. I think it comes out next week. I may pick that one up as well, but I need something. This is 19 hours. Oh my God. Is anybody going off over to Australia? Maybe we can share a flight or something, for God's sakes. 19 hours in a plane is going to drive me mad. And this one, this is different than when I went to Scandinavia or Amsterdam, because there's no internet on these flights. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go bananas. I'm going to have to get some DVDs or something. You know, I don't have a PSP, nor will I be buying one. Maybe I can borrow one and load some movies onto it or something. But whoa, it's going to be a little crazy. It's going to be a lot crazy. So hopefully you like the AC/DC at the end there. I looked all over the place. I had so much music queued up. You know, I was like, Australia, what am I going to do? I got to come up with this or that or this or that or In Excess. And I didn't know what to do. So I was going to play this. Yeah, that's one of my favorites in the 80s. But obviously I'm not. So, so Australia would be fun. If you're going down, let me know. Look forward to meeting you guys. Let's see what else. You know, if you don't like the horse armor, don't buy it. That's all I got to say. Don't buy the horse armor. A lot of people bought the horse armor, though. So the people that aren't buying it, maybe in a slight minority here. All right, I got to go back and I'm a level 5 and a 4 or 5 in Oblivion. I'm working my way through the main quest. And I'm having a little bit of challenges, but it's the fun puzzle, so I'm going to go finish that. So hopefully you guys enjoyed the show, and God willing, I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.